Hey everybody, this is Jeffrey Powers, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Google Glass. We're doing it slightly differently because we've got a guest on, and me and Luke are going to be interviewing Kathy Brown, talking about healthcare, glass in healthcare. And of course, we have this as a live Q&A section, so you can go over to the Q&A area and submit your questions, and they will appear below. And what will happen is when you watch the video, you watch it with the companion, and you'll see the questions next to the area. So first of all, I want to welcome my guest, Mr. Luke Wallace, co-host of the show every single week. How you doing, Luke?
Doing good tonight, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing great. I mean, I enjoy doing these types of hangouts and enjoying the technology. The way that we've changed in our technology, it's amazing what we can do here. So where can people find you, Luke?
So I'm Luke Luca on Twitter, or Luke at twig.tv, and all the information to contact me will be over in the show notes. Pretty easy to find.
All right. And you you actually spoke this weekend at the Android Big Barbecue, correct? How'd that go?
Yes. The big was last Friday and Saturday, and I was there speaking on Google Glass first thing Saturday morning. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of people were there. There was over 500 people attending the Android conference there, and there was a whole track basically on Saturday that was all about Google Glass from 9 a.m. when it started, all the way till 4 o'clock before the closing keynote. There were sessions just straight through all about glass. So there's definitely a lot of interest in that community.
Sounds good, and good to hear that you've got your speaking gig. Speaking of speaking gigs, I'm actually going to be speaking myself next week. No, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be going to Southern Wisconsin and actually speaking I can't remember what college, Platteville, UW-Platteville, and talking about Google Glass and the changes. So hopefully I'll get my Google Glass by then. Just a little update to everybody. My Google Glass showed up at Google headquarters today, and I got the email and saying, well, once we get the turnaround, we get you a tracking number, and then you can go from there. So that's where it stands today with my pair of Google Glass. So, of course, everything you can find is over at thisweekinggoogleglass.com or twig.tv, T-W-I-G-G, that's with two G's, .tv, and that'll get you twig.tv. Of course, thisweekinggoogleglass.com, where you can check out all the previous episodes, donate to the show, or even tell us a story. We've got one person that actually emailed us a story on why he should get a pair of Google Glass. Now, keep in mind, this is not to get a pair. This, if you already have to be an explorer, but if we get enough donations, we'll be able to help you get your Google Glass through your stories. So, this week we've got a very special guest. Her name is Kathy Brown, and she's basically got her glass advocating the healthcare implications using Google Glass. And Kathy, why don't you introduce everybody where they can find you?
Sure. Thank you, Jeff. You can find me on Twitter at Clever Kibitzer. It's kind of hard to spell, so you can find me even better on Google Plus in Healthcare Talk Community. I run that community, and you can also find me in Healthcare Glass Explorers Community. And brownnose.com is my company, and you can see it at the bottom of my name badge there.
I didn't, when you said that, it all of a sudden it clicked. It's like, oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So what before glass, what was your role in healthcare? Are you a practicing a physician or?
No, I'm not a practicing physician. I'm not in healthcare hands-on at all. I'm married to a physician executive, so I've lived and breathed healthcare for 2 decades. And I've been in social media helping healthcare professionals use social media. And I evolved into the technology arena when I started covering apps and new things that they can use, and I just naturally moved right into Google Glass when it came available.
I totally understand on that. I actually, for 4 or 5 years myself, I was in the IT department of several different hospitals, so I got my fair share of of how things should be run inside technology inside of healthcare. So it's very big, very complicated situation, because you not only have all the rules of IT, you also have all the rules of healthcare. And there's got, you know, all the HIPAA and everything like that, and how that's changed in the last 10 years. It's just completely amazing. People don't just completely lose their minds off of stuff like that. So you got your Paraglass. Did you get it through the developer program, or did you get it through If I Had Glass?
I got it through If I Had Glass. I proposed that If I Had Glass, I would leverage the crowdsourcing capability of all the great minds in my healthcare talk community to explore healthcare and glass, and that's exactly what I'm doing today.
So when did you get your glass? Was it around June, July, or?
I think I actually picked mine up in mid-July.
Okay. And so far, it looks like you've been pretty active in the healthcare realm. Have you been going around speaking with other groups on glass and that?
Well, I try to. I've been spending most of my time doing the healthcare hangouts for glass. I don't know how many of them your viewing audience have seen, but I do the same thing that we're doing tonight, except I interview the healthcare glass explorers. I have done some speaking around, but it's mostly virtually, because there isn't a lot of time for doctors to be sitting around listening to me speak. And I also offer to go to physician places and shadow them so that they can use glass and I can be there to help them and they can explore for a day or two. So I've had a lot of fun doing that.
And that's pretty cool that you've been shadowing them. And what's the big questions that they end up coming up with when they start wearing glass while they're seeing patients?
Well, before they even get to the point of seeing patients, the first question they ask is, am I going to be able to wear this? Because HIPAA, which is a privacy regulations, is something that everybody's aware of, because there are really big fines if there's any question that you've crossed the line. So I always have to go in and tell them what other people have done and explain to them that this is not going over the airways unless you start video hangouts and that sort of thing. So once I give them the safety talk and let them know that it's going to be okay to use this, they're very excited to go into the patients and see how they can interact. But their first concern is it going to be disruptive to me being with the patient? And I've gotten really good feedback that it's actually the opposite, that they love not having to look down at an iPad and just look straight ahead, and it's not in the middle of their view like you would think it would be, because it's above the eye vision. So they're very happy with that. And the number one thing that everybody loves is the voice dictation. Right now we only have Evernote, because there isn't a lot out there that's completely fully baked. But okay, taking out Evernote and saying, okay, glass, take a note. Sorry. I have to be careful when I say that. They start saying in their charts, and they're amazed how accurate it is. And when they realize how accurate it is and how they can do it so easily, they just light up. They're so excited just to get it for that reason.
Okay, and of course, Luke, if you want to ask any questions, feel free to jump in there. I'll let you ask the next question.
Oh, I don't know. We'd set some up ahead of time, but I'll have those up in front of me.
Okay. So you're working with these patients, or you're working with these doctors that are working with these patients, and they're liking it, and the patients are liking it. And actually, it's a little bit no different than when we're wearing glass out in the streets, and you know, the big question is, well, am I getting recorded or anything like that? And the reality is no. You see it more as a term of the doctor can focus more on the patient than looking at an iPad or a computer screen or something like that?
Absolutely. Let me give you some examples of where glass has the potential to really improve the interaction with patients. When a doctor comes in, they have to document what they're doing. So you often have a doctor that will look at you, ask you a few questions, look down at an iPad, do some typing, read through the last notes that they had from seeing you before, look up, ask some more questions, look back down, check off the things they're supposed to ask, and it continues on that way.
Okay.
With the potential of glass being able to hear and to be able to take dictation and to transcribe it and possibly even mine it for keywords and populate the charts, there's a lot of possibility for doctors not to have to spend so much time looking down. So that's one place where it has a lot of potential. Another place is just being able to have information at your fingertips. So imagine a patient comes in and has a complaint, and the doctor says they're going to suggest doing this, and the patient says, well, you know, I read this article about, and the doctor is at a disadvantage because they don't know what that article says. So being able to very quickly Google that article and to find it and to see what they're reading and be able to talk about it is a really handy thing. So those are two of the, there are a lot more, but those are two of the top ideas that doctors have that they're really interested in using it for.
Okay. First of all, we're getting some questions, but I think these are spam. I'm not sure because they're in a different language. Unfortunately, unless somebody here can read Arabic, I think I can't read them. You gotta ask the questions in English. Otherwise, I'm going to remove them and assume they're spam. So I apologize on that, but that's. Unfortunately, that's the way that we can go from here. All right. So how many, talking with Kathy Brown here, what was it again?
Brown
nose. I love that. It's beautiful. So how many doctors have you talked with glass shown them off? Is it like hundreds or what?
Oh yeah. Too many to count. I love to go to conferences with my husband and then just walk and wait for someone to stop me. So that's my playground.
Oh, yeah. I think that's all our Luke, you have that happen all the time, right?
Yes. yes, it happened last night when we were out playing putt-putt at a local little putt-putt place. I went up to get a new pencil, you know, to take score, and the girl working behind the desk said, "Oh yeah, they're over. Is that Google Glass?" And then she stopped everything for that. So yeah, we understand that. I did have a question. Kind of, you went to like these ideas of kind of an app of pulling up information. I was wondering. You kind of mentioned a couple of things. Is there a simple app that you think, if there was somebody watching this and kind of thinking, "Oh, you know, I could develop, you know, a simple app myself." Is there some app or some kind of app that you think might be useful to doctors, maybe integrating two things, or I know you talked about voice dictation, but is there any kind of thing that maybe you haven't seen before that would be handy on glass?
Yes. Well, first of all, there are some great things in development, and they're the more complicated apps that are going to require some security and patient data population, and those are really exciting, but they're going to take a while to develop and they're not going to be as easily implemented. But what I think someone could develop that would be really cool would be an app that would simply take checklists of certain types of exams, because one of the things that a doctor Nader said to me when she was testing it out was that there are times when a patient comes in primary care and they have a particular complaint and it needs to be a particular examination that they don't do every day. So they're not as familiar with those things they don't do every day. And if they could pull those up and have a checklist to make sure that they're looking for those specific items, just as a reminder, to have a database that Glass could go to and with a few keywords look up that checklist of that particular exam or that particular procedure to make sure that you follow all of the checklist items would be phenomenal and really easy to do.
How would you do that to keep things hands-free? Because Glass can't be on all the time. As we've detected, that it just gets hot. And, I mean, and that's any device. That would be a mobile phone, a tablet, or whatnot. After a while, it just gets way too hot to touch or hot for it to continue working. So would it be a constant on, or would there be a way to voice command that on without touching? Because I'm assuming there might be some procedures where all of a sudden your hands are filled with blood and the last thing you want to do is touch your Google Glass.
Well, usually the unit gets hot when you have video or you're recording something repeatedly. The people that I've been with when they've tested it, well, like Dr. Nader, she wore it for the entire day, 2 days straight. And she had it on from the moment she started to the moment she left work. And there was no heat issue for her. Now, she wasn't doing a lot of video queue ups. She was just doing Google searches. And that didn't seem to be a problem. So she never had to use her hands. It was all voice activated. So it was really just a matter of tipping her head, waking it up, and saying, okay, glass. I'm trying not to trigger my glass again. And then she would say what she wanted to Google. In the case of a special app, you'd have to have keywords that you could simply say whatever that particular exam is, and it would queue it up.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I never the first thing I do is I actually turn off the wake on, you know, because I find myself doing this more and more as you're just walking, and then all of a sudden it's like my Google Glass is back on, and I just don't want to be reminded of the time every 2 seconds. So, but yeah, I just never really came to that realization that it would come, which is good, because like I said, I don't want a pair of glass that's full of blood, because you know that's also not sanitary. There's no is Google working on anything that would make a pair of glass more sanitary when it comes to working inside of a surgery or something as such?
Well, when you're in a surgery, you can't touch things that aren't sterile. So because it's hands-free, that's why people have been looking at it. I'm sure that you probably eventually there'll be some kind of a cover, much like you put your hair in a cover and you put your feet in little booty covers, and you cover things that you don't want to get into the environment. So and it'd have to be a normal cleaning process, but it's no different than wearing a pair of glasses. So in a surgical environment, surgeons are used to not touching anything. So they would use the head bob to wake it up. They would use the voice commands to trigger it. And there would be no touching until the surgery was over.
I suppose if you have, like for instance, with the iPhone and an Android phone, you can get one of those little plastic cases that you can seal it up in when you take it to the beach or something like that. Maybe there's some sort of sticker or that could be put on the side that you put it on the side to stare that would be sterile. So when you are in surgery, you could go back and forth and go from there. So, have you heard of any products, any companies working on products for that?
No, I haven't. And in the case of surgery, they would never reach up and run their finger anywhere near their hair, so that really wouldn't be an issue. In
primary care.
You're not talking about a sterile environment. It's a matter of washing your hands and washing the unit, no different than adjusting your glasses. So I haven't heard of anyone developing that. I suppose that would be an idea. Now, there is one thing that has been developed, and that's a small cover that goes on the lens here, and it's for privacy. It's for HIPAA's sake, that if somebody has really good eagle eye vision, they could potentially see patient information if it were to be displayed on the screen, and so they put a privacy cover there, not only to keep people from seeing it, but to also help keep it a little bit darker so the light doesn't make it hard to read.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's pretty cool.
I had a question. Going back to what we were talking about is kind of how you control it. I've seen some systems. I was actually at a DevCon conference a couple months ago now, at least a month ago, down in Austin, and there was a group there, Pristine, I believe, and they're working on some glassware for doctors and surgeons, and they've actually got a hands-free control scheme that they're working on that actually wraps around your forearm, and it uses motion as you turn, because like if you put your hand around your forearm and you twist your wrist, you realize you can feel that motion down in your arm, and they're actually working on ways of controlling glass using that. I don't know if you've been following any of those kind of startups that are building this kind of glassware for doctors. I don't know if you have any thoughts on those or.
I've not heard of that one. That's interesting to have something that actually follows the wrist movement. I have talked with a couple of people that have been entertaining, they're not deep into the development yet, but using the same technology that you use in gaming for virtual gaming, where just the motions of your hands can trigger something, And that's a possibility that if you needed to be able to, for example, scroll from card to card, you'd be able to use your hands and just the motion of your hands. The problem is usually when you're in, when we're talking about surgery specifically, they're so locked into the surgery itself that anything that distracts them is not going to be a possibility. So if you're having to dance in front of something or move your hands around trying to move screens, you're really not getting the benefit of glass. The benefit of glass is going to be something that is non-obtrusive. It's there when you really, really need it, and when it's not needed, it just sits. In the case of a consult, if you wanted to call a consult that could see what you're doing, maybe you're supposed to be in there looking and finding something and you're not seeing what you're supposed to see before you finish it up, or recording the surgery so that later on when somebody goes back, they know exactly what was done without having to open the person up again.
Is that kind of hands-free picture taking, I guess you could use it for that, video, and then that Google Hangout idea, is that something that doctors are excited about? Are they worried that, you know, that they'll be kind of they'll have someone talking in their ear telling them what to do, or are they just more interested in that they'll be able to consult that expert when they need to?
There's been a lot of talk about being able to consult. There's been some excitement about the actual video capability, but because there is such a concern with the privacy right now, that's just not something that we're doing here in the States. Now, from what I understand, there are some physicians that have taken glass abroad, and they're doing just that in other countries where they're not so strict with the privacy regulations, and they're having some great success and excitement there. I'm just hoping that here in the U.S., we're not the last ones to use it because of our constraints.
Go ahead. I'm just thinking about, a doctor that's, 100 miles away from the nearest, expert. Like Dallas is pretty fortunate because we've got a lot of great, medical centers here, but there's a lot of places that are, not so lucky, and they actually fly people into Dallas a lot. I was talking to some guys up at Children's Medical Center, and they're the guys who fly the helicopters, and they were talking about how they fly people in from, hundreds of miles, basically, to bring them to the hospital there. It seems like it would be really useful if you could have a doctor who is, a little more remote, able to consult an expert in a major city, so that, maybe they wouldn't have to do that flying, or they could do some procedure or something simple to help stabilize them before they, actually put them on there, kind of try to transfer that knowledge just when they needed it.
Yes, in the emergency environment, we talked a lot about that, and there's a lot of potential in that situation because even if it's not a physician who's wearing glass, if it's the first responder wearing glass, just transmitting what the scene looks like so that the people who are receiving the patients have a better understanding of what they're dealing with before the patients arrive is really beneficial. And there are a lot of things being developed in that realm, and you take that even further out into firefighters and some of those things, which I won't even get into, but it's really exciting having the ability to show someone else what is being seen when they can't otherwise be there. But taking it even further, you think about physicians aiding other healthcare professionals, but what about this device aiding the average Joe? And there's an app that's in development called CPR Glass, and it assuming that everything goes well and they have all their technology in line, it will allow the average person to come upon somebody who needs help and be able to take some readings to say whether or not that individual needs CPR, walk the person through the steps of doing CPR, even counting the rhythm and the number of compressions while the glass is looking for the nearest defibrillator and getting it ready or possibly even dispatching it on site. So you talk about the potential of bringing that medicine to the place where it's needed most. That's really exciting.
I was going to bring up a similar question to that. Do you think that glass will become a part of a defibrillator package, maybe on an airplane or something like that, where you'll go to an emergency, emergency area, and there'll be, gauze and aspirin and all that other stuff, and then of course a pair of Google Glass. So if something gets really bad, then they can connect up and talk to people.
I don't know, but that's a really good idea.
Thank you.
You should patent that real quick. You just got to patent that.
Patent the emergency Google Glass. I think Google would probably not want me to do that. So, but you know, hey, it's something. You know, with Google Glass is only a couple $100. You could probably see that. I don't know if you'd see that in planes, but definitely emergency kits could have something that would hook up to on an emergency basis, or even the fact of, you know, we have the fact that Google Glass doesn't really unless you tether your phone, it doesn't really talk to the internet. However, what if there's an emergency button on a pair of Google Glass, and all of a sudden you've pulled out this Google Glass, and it connects up to the local 911 dispatch, which then puts it to where it needs to go?
Well, actually, Google Glass works without the phone as long as there's Wi-Fi.
That's true too.
So if they gave like a constant go-go pass to all Google, it'd be the Google go-go.
Go, go, Google. Yeah, it's like an Inspector Gadget thing.
It'd be like that. You know, your phone only works with 911 when you don't have it activated. Well, maybe they could do something like that. That would be exciting.
Okay. Well, our friend Sarah Hill, you know who Sarah Hill is, a very good friend of mine, she actually asked a question a little bit earlier, and she was kind of curious on the waivers. I guess we're going to look a little bit towards the HIPAA side of things. Is anybody developing policy and procedure through paperwork on using Google Glass?
I don't know how Sarah did it, but she managed to give a beautiful hook there for me to put a plug that on October 20th, I'll be talking with David Harlow in a Hangout specifically about crafting I don't know if it's universal, but at least within the United States, having something that will be acceptable for that kind of a waiver. We're going to have some discussions on what the obstacles are in HIPAA and how we might be able to work around it without being too negative about the good part that HIPAA brings. And he tried to put together, he called it Hacking HIPAA, and it was a startup that he was trying to raise funds for, which included this waiver. And he didn't get enough momentum going, and partly because there isn't enough people talking about it. So we're going to be talking about it on October 20th, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about.
Cool. There is a question in the question answer. I don't know if it's a real question. It says, can you spec ARPC? Does that mean anything to you, Kathy?
ARPC.
Yeah, I tried to look it up, and the closest thing I can get to ARPC is the Air Reserve Personnel Center. So,
what that question means?
Albany Rifle and Pistol Club. That's pretty much it. We're unfortunately, yeah. If you do have a question, though, we do have the question and answer area. You can ask a question. Of course, it's got to be in English. Sorry, but that's just the way that we can read it. So feel free to ask a question on healthcare and Google Glass because we're talking with Kathy Brown, who's the leading advocate of Google Glass in healthcare right now. Luke, did you have a question there?
So I'm wondering, what about like patients? Do you think like just the general public, how do you think this might affect their healthcare? We've talked a little bit about, you know, how it might affect doctors and emergency responders, but like the day-to-day person, how could their healthcare be improved with glass?
There are some interesting ways that patients have already thought to use glass, or that nurses have thought to use glass on patients' behalf, and that's actually one of the future hangouts that I'm holding, and I'm still looking for guests. So if anybody is listening and they have ideas on how they think glass would work, from a patient perspective, I'd love to get in contact with you and see if you want to be a part of that discussion. But what I have heard, there is one patient that was using glass to take pictures of where things were left because I don't know if it was Alzheimer's or dementia or what, but there was a forgetfulness there. And so glass was being used for that. But there have been even more talks about having glass interact or interface with equipment for paraplegics, because they have to have their beds rotated on a regular basis to avoid sores. So if somebody doesn't have full-time care and they're uncomfortable, to be able to voice activate the controls for the bed, to be able to rotate and move the bed around, would be wonderful for someone who can't normally do that for themselves. We've also talked about the idea of noise reduction in the hospital on the nurse's standpoint, because nurses who are, let's say you're in an intensive care, there are so many alarms going off that after a while they become numb to it. They just shut it out because it's going on all the time. And to be able to minimize that noise and push some of those alerts directly to glass could potentially make the environment better for the patients, because they can rest better, but it would also be a better response of the nurses, because they wouldn't have that constant beep, beep, beep. If you've ever been in intensive care, you know there are always sounds going off, and it's a wonder they even hear any of them.
So that might be another... Oh.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so that might be another app for if there's somebody watching this and they want to build an app, like some way to notify users of Glass by location or by some sort of criteria, so that if they could notify, oh, I need to notify, you know, the head nurses and, you know, the next level down or something like that, but I don't need to notify everybody, but just be able to send notifications like that to Glass, so that either everybody in one area of the hospital or whatever, and you know, be able to just notify the right people so that they hear it on theirs, but everybody else doesn't. Like you said, that would actually be really nice for the hospital itself. It would also, yeah, be a lot more relaxing, because you're not having these alarms going off all the time, and the patients wouldn't have to hear them, and they don't need to be hearing all this stuff about, you know, something really bad is happening, and then that just probably is going to stress them out even more than they already are. So it's a very neat idea.
Well, and also, if you get to a point where you believe that this is going to be mainstream, I don't think that glass is something I'd want to wear every day. I'm wearing my glass every day because I'm putting myself in situations to see how it can work and when it's a hindrance. But most people are not going to wear glass every day. But imagine if you are that relative of someone who's in the intensive care area, and you're there for not days, but you're there for weeks, and you're trying to make sure that your loved one gets care. To have that augmented reality ability to say, whoever's in this particular room, that location, that geographical location, and to push that to glass so that the patient who or the patient's family member who walks in can immediately see a card that would say, this was the last time they got their meds, this is the last time the doctor came, or this is when the doctor is scheduled, or whatever that information is that would be able to be to put there, would be really nice for patients' families to be able to get and not have to wait for the next person to walk in and try to figure it out for themselves.
That's an interesting thought. I didn't even realize it. Of course, about a month and a half back, my dad actually went into the hospital. He had he's 74 years old, and he had one of his toes just was basically to the point where they had to remove it. They ended up having to remove most of the foot. He's already had one leg removed, and he's diabetic, so it's just part of the progression, I guess you could say. But yeah, I remember visiting him and wondering, you know, because they took him to a nursing home, and not to get too into the situation, it was during dinner time, and he was in the bathroom, and he was left in the bathroom. So it would be nice to have something that, you know, could alert us to let us know, hey, you know, he's in a distress, and find out what's going on. But my bigger question though is this something that you think that could actually a doctor could actually prescribe a pair of glass, kind of like those? And it's kind of sound funny, but, you know, the whole I've fallen and I can't get up, those pendants that you push, instead of pushing, having one to push, you have a pair of glass that's going to help you with that.
I think the sky's the limit. There have been talks in using glass in that way, and it would make sense that if you're going to use it in that way, that it would be prescribed. There's also hesitation to do so because of device taxes. Once you prescribe something as a medical device, it then falls into the medical device tax, which is a real debate right now. So I don't know how willing people would be to do that. But assuming that hurdle can be overcome, if you can design an app that would help with falls prevention. I had a discussion with technology, is it Variable Inc., that did the Nodes technology, which is a, it can tell you, well, if you have the right parameters, it can tell you when you're at the tipping point. So if you have someone who's unsteady on their feet, to be able to have an alarm when they're getting a little off balance so that mm-hmm. it brings to their attention could potentially be a real good falls prevention tool. Or if you've got the person who is obese or for whatever reason is supposed to be watching their diet and they swear they're doing everything you told them to do and they're not losing weight or they're still getting exposed to whatever it is, to be able to have Glass record the meals and not necessarily have to go back to those, but when things aren't seeming right, to be able to go back to those and to say, what exactly did you eat? No, green bean casserole is not the same as fresh green beans.
It isn't? So, oh, darn.
But you can see where it could potentially work that way. It's just a matter of who's going to develop what and who's going to see a need that they can tie in with this.
That's pretty cool. And bringing in the whole food thing, that's amazing. And then, of course, if you tie it to other wearable devices, I mean, we're talking about how somebody could wear a pair of Glass and get the first responders and get a scene of what's going on. But wouldn't it also be cool if you could actually pull out some sort of device that you could put on the person's wrist and all of a sudden that sends signals to say this is what the heartbeat is, this is what the blood pressure is, and any type of medical issues like this person is a diabetic or anything like that. I think that would be an addition to having addition to Glass.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, if anybody has any questions, feel free. We have the question and answer section. So far, I think people have just been testing out the question and answer session by throwing out random comments and stuff like that. We do have a few people watching, so thank you very much for watching. And, of course, this will be recorded. This will be on This Week in Google Glass, and you can review it. And if you have any post questions, let us know, jeff@twig.tv or luke@twig.tv. That's with two Gs. Kathy, where can people get a hold of you?
The best place to get a hold of me is right on Google+, as Kathy Brown. Like I said, I'm always posting to the healthcare community. I'm always on Google+, and you can also find me on the website at brownnose.com, and that's spelled like my name, and KNOWS, Brown Nose. And one thing we haven't really talked about on the real potential of Glass in healthcare, we talk about primary care physicians, surgeons, nurses, and all those are great things, but right now they're for the most part wish list items. But where Glass is already working is okay. In the medical learning environment. There's a guy, his Google handle is Chloe Glass, and it's Marty Wilson. And Marty has been using Glass by putting it on Chloe, the simulation dummy, and recording when his students are running codes and doing procedures and then playing it back so they know what the patient sees. And it gives great feedback on their interpersonal skills, on their ability to respond carefully and quickly, and how they interpret the instructions they're given. And he can go back and look and see it firsthand what they were really doing and where their eyes were. And he's also using it to record procedures so that from a bird's eye view, they can see what a surgery looks like. They can see what putting in sutures looks like. They can see those things firsthand rather than trying to have a camera look over top of somebody's head and deal with shadows and everything. And that's a real today application of Glass in medicine.
That's amazing that, you know, you never even think of the other person's view and being able to not only give them better care, but also soothe them, give them more comfort, and in making sure that they're feeling okay, so they can relax, so you can do your job, and go from there. So that you blew my mind there. Gone. So what other any other things that we're not seeing that the healthcare industry is looking in besides that?
Do we have a couple hours?
Go for it. We'll let this hangout go forever. You know, 24-hour hangout right now. No, I'm just kidding.
I have to hold some things back for the people who are actually going to be sharing their firsthand knowledge. But there are a lot of things in development, and unfortunately, some of the really cool things are that are in development, the people developing them don't want to share all the details. So I don't even know what all the details are, but I can tell you that I'm going to be, after we talk with nurses coming up, I've got a later hangout at the end of the month talking with at least one orthodontic surgeon or orthodontist, and I'm going to be talking about dentistry. And I had no idea all of the applications with dental surgery and procedures and just being able to put information hands-free up on a screen when it's needed to compare before and afters as they're doing a procedure. It's just really cool, some of the things that people have come up with. I just hope that we can get administrators and IT people and legal people all on the same page. So mm-hmm. some of these things can actually be implemented in a timely fashion, and we're not waiting 5 to 10 years for someone to finally say it's no different than a smartphone.
That's true. That is true. And there, you know, there's still hundreds of problems that when it comes to a smartphone in the medical profession, you have to deal with as well. So unfortunately, that's not totally resolved yet. So my next question. Actually, moving from the healthcare into the visual part of healthcare, and you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about an app that they're working on to help with being able to determine the person's ability to see and their eye, you know, see from afar and see up close. And by putting in eye charts and telling them to read different things, so they could, you know, they could get a prescription glasses without having to see an optometrist and go from there. Have you been following that aspect of healthcare?
I haven't. That's intriguing to me. You've thrown me for a loop there. Now I want to know how to get in contact with people that I can add that to the list of discussions.
Well, the episode we did the episode about a few weeks ago, and do you remember what that was all about, Luke? I'm just remembering bits and pieces.
I don't remember the number, but yeah, we talked about it. It was an app that somebody had made that basically showed, you know, those little E's, I think, you know, for that optometrists use when they're kind of testing your eyes, and by showing them up there, you could get kind of a rough, you know, estimate of if you needed glasses or not.
Were they showing through the glass lens, or were they doing a 3D representation?
No, they were showing through the glass lens, from what I recall.
See, I would think that wouldn't be as accurate, because I don't know about you, but my eyes get fatigued if I try to look too much. I do mostly sound with my glass for that reason.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't see it as like a perfect use case, but it was one of those things that, you know, who knows kind of what it could lead to.
Yeah.
More likely, if anything, you'd be at the DMV and they'd say, "Okay, we're gonna throw something up on glass. What do you read?" And you're okay. Your vision's still okay, so you can drive, I guess.
Yeah, as long as this is your good eye. Well, have you seen the technology? I forget the company, but there's a YouTube video. If you search for augmented reality Google Glass 3D, and it's by Droiders, and Droiders has a 3D imaging where I don't know what they're showing exactly, but it looks like looking through glass, you actually see what you see, and I haven't figured out how what I'm seeing in that video works, but it superimposes a three-dimensional object on a flat magazine page.
Really?
Yeah, but I can't figure out how you would see that because the lens is up here, so, and they're showing it as a book, so I don't know if it was a rendition that doesn't exist yet or what, but I could see where there'd be some good possibilities for that.
Okay. What about what about in the dental? I'm just throwing this out here because it's possible. Is there anything happening in the dental area when it comes to Google Glass?
Well, there is, and I'm not going to steal the thunder of the person I'm going to be talking with the end of the month. So I'm going to have to hold off on that one, partly because I want him to be the first one to share it, and I also don't know if the product is ready to be released. So I don't want to say more than I'm supposed to say. and I'd like him to say it first anyway, because he gets all the glory.
All right. Well, we do.
I can tell you that in general, the application in dentistry is the idea of the before and the afters, being able to see things, being able to voice activate, pulling things up, and having them not displayed on glass necessarily, but displayed on screen. But it's the whole hands-free capability, and then calling it up on a, just like we have our screencast. You know, we do the screencast to demonstrate what we see on glass. It would be the same thing. It'd be like a screencast to a screen that he could look at. I don't know what he would be showing on the actual glass itself.
Okay. We do have a question in here. It's not really healthcare related, but what do you expect the launch price range to be for Google Glass?
You know, I don't know. All that I've heard, and this is only rumor, Google does not tell us anything. So we make it up. And this is entirely made up. But if enough people say it, it must be true. If it works for Obama, then that should work for us too, right?
So. Yeah. Or we shut things down.
That's right. So I have heard repeatedly that it's going to be in the $300 to $500 price range. That is completely rumor and has not been said by Google at all. But that would make sense to me, because I think that this is equivalent to a Bluetooth device. It's not really good enough to be a standalone. It's not good enough to be the top of the line Droid phone that comes out, because there's still some glitches and it's really not an everyday application. So I'm hoping that it'll be in the $300 to $500 price range.
If it was in that price range, do you think that that's something that doctors would pick up? I mean, assuming that they could find some uses for it, and then, you know, even if there was only one or two apps, is that something they would all just run out and buy day one, or would they maybe hold off a little bit?
Well, there's really two points to that question. Would they go out and buy it on their own for them to have and play with? Yes, because even in that case, it would be worth the dictation and being able to do the things that Glass would do hands-free. But if you're talking about using it in an office, using it in surgery, using it in those ways, Glass is only going to get out in the healthcare field if there are applications that are developed for it and Glass is a part of that package. So if some major developer of electronic medical records incorporates Glass into it and that's a part of their package on a large-scale purchasing plan, then Glass will go into the hospitals. But you can't just buy your software and buy something else and say, oh, we'll take 10 of those. That's not how it's going to hit the market. So somebody needs to put that into the plan, that it has to be a package deal. And if somebody's smart enough to make that a package deal and it gets connected with something bigger that people buy a lot of, then I think we're going to see it everywhere in the hospitals.
I know for a fact that one of the companies that deals with technology in healthcare, Epic, is actually just down the road from me. And I'm one of five pairs of Google Glass. Well, I was until they went back, but one of five pairs of Google Glass that's in Madison, Wisconsin. And I know one of those pairs of Google Glass is one of the developers at Epic. So I could see them actually putting together some sort of package that would include the incorporation of Google Glass.
And they are working on it.
Well, I don't know if they're working. I know they have a pair of Google Glass.
Well, they are working on the concept. They don't have anything far baked, but they are working on the concept. I'm trying to think of who it was. Friedman? Is that who you?
I don't know the name. I know that there's a pair of Google Glass in Madison that works at Epic. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, I think it was Jacob Friedman that was in my, I think he's the one that was with Epic, was in my hangout last week, and he was very interested in our discussions with surgery, and he had some great ideas of his own, and I could just see the wheels spinning, and I would not be surprised. I also know that there are some other companies, some that are established and some that are not yet established, that have some great potential. It's really going to be a matter of how smart they are in business and whether or not they can team up with a larger company to get out there.
Okay.
Cool stuff coming down the road.
Yeah, I totally agree. We've got another question here from Quentin. We talked a little bit about EMS people wearing glass. And so maybe you can expound on what you said before, because his question is just wondering about how it can help EMS people responding to emergencies. Now, we touched a bit on that. So is there anything that we might have missed that could add to the conversation?
Yeah, you'd have to divide that into really three sectors. You've got your telemedicine, where it's first responders to a disaster, and you don't have enough highly trained people to respond to a disaster. GLASS could potentially be an extension of those people by having people back here, being able to aid people who don't have the training virtually using Google Glass. That has a great possibility. Then the second group is your EMS first responders that we have every day that go on the scene, they treat people, keep them alive, get them to the hospital, and then somebody else takes over. In that arena, there's a lot of development going on, and not only communicating the information that you see at the site, but taking vitals, recording vitals at the time, because one of the things that the EMS people said is you lose track of time. You think that you've been giving compressions for a minute, or you think you've been giving them for 8 minutes, and it's half that time, or it's twice that time, because you've got so many other things going on that you lose track of really how long time is. And that's a way of keeping it accurate, because if you're talking about someone going without oxygen, that's really important to know.
Mm-hmm.
Or how long you've been giving them a medicine, or how long ago you gave them medicine. So having that recorded on the spot and immediately put into the patient record before they even make it to the hospital is great. So there's a lot of that development that's going on. And then the third end of that is actually taking it to the emergency responders that are more like firefighters. And even with the EMS, to be able to have navigation, your hands are free to be able to be navigating maybe where it's dark and you don't know where you're going, to have just a better idea of the land. I'm not suggesting that happens a lot with EMS, but it certainly does with firefighters. So to have the people who are in charge of the whole operation gives them a little insight.
One thing I could think about as you were talking about that is, okay, let's say in a situation where an EMS is responding to somebody who's down 911 call, and they end up giving them a drug or something like that. They didn't realize that person is allergic to, but then as the information goes back to the hospital, as they're on their way to the hospital, somebody picks up, oh, wait a minute, that person is allergic to whatever that they just got them. You could actually turn around and once they get to the hospital, or even call them up and say, hey, you've got to fix that now, or else this person is going to have a whole bunch of new problems that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just thought there to come out of my head. So
both ways. So yeah, you could have information pushed and pulled either way.
So, well, thank you very much, Quentin, for that question. Of course, if anybody has any more questions, we got a few more minutes to try and answer as many questions about healthcare and Google Glass. Luke, do you have anything that you want to add to this right now?
I think I'm good. I think this has just been an amazing time to talk to you, Kathy, about all these ideas in healthcare. I mean, we've talked about, you know, EMS and firefighters and police and stuff a little bit before, but I think this is just a lot of really great insight into, you know, both patient side and, you know, provider side healthcare, and just kind of how it might change things. And I mean, I know a lot of things we're talking about due to regulation and stuff might not happen immediately, you know, when Glass comes out, but it's neat to know that there are ideas out there and people are working on them. And you know, hopefully we'll see these beneficial ideas come about a lot sooner than later.
Yeah, the big stumbling block right now is the privacy issue. So if anybody's developing, if you can answer that question and you can answer it in a way that it's going to satisfy everyone, think ahead. Don't just assume that because you lock down one piece of it that there aren't other pieces. It would really help to have those things developed in a way that the problems are answered up front. There is another app that I'd like to throw out there, and I haven't mentioned this before, so this is going to be a new one, and I think it's an easy one for someone who just wants to get their feet wet with Glass. And it was my husband's idea. I can't take credit for this, but
yeah, you can.
Okay. He was suggesting, we're talking about facial recognition, because I intend to put it on Glass as soon as I can. I'm being a good girl, and I'm not doing it right now, but I'm face blind. So that's just a side note. So I truly can't see people for their faces. So I appreciate the facial recognition. Translate that to medication recognition. And to be able to have a simple app that in some way can access a database of medications, the serial numbers, the shapes, the sizes, the colors. And when someone comes into the ER with a bag full of pills and they might not even be conscious, somebody can dump it into a tray, either shake it or do whatever you have to do for Glass to identify the medication. So the person who is triaging or the person who is treating has an immediate list of the medications that were in that pill bottle.
Oh, okay. In that bag.
There you go. Somebody make millions and then give me a check.
You know, last year when I went to Las Vegas and we got into the hotel room, I looked on the floor and there were like 5 pills on the floor. And they had markings on them, capital N. And I literally just went up on the internet and tried to find out what they were. They ended up just being modern standard painkillers. You know, it's kind of cool that to be able to do that and turn around and just look at a pill and say, oh, yeah, that's this pill. You shouldn't take it because it'll give you a heart attack or it'll increase estrogen or testosterone or something like that and go from there. Well, you shouldn't be taking pills off the floor anyway to begin with. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to share a story with you. We're digressing a little bit, but I have to share this now.
Okay.
When we were traveling, our briefcases got swapped. Somebody else, I don't know who took which one first, but they looked identical. And we got all the way home and opened up the briefcase, and it was a briefcase full of steroids, like illegal steroids, obviously for muscle building. And we had to track down the person who owned the suitcase because we didn't think that they would get them otherwise or that we should be in
control. You wanted your suitcase back, didn't you?
Well, we wanted our suitcase back. Yeah, we did. We wanted our suitcase back, but we figured that they probably wouldn't give it to us unless we gave them the suitcase that they had. But yeah, I wouldn't have known what it was if I didn't live with someone who recognized those things. And it'd be nice even as a parent to be able to do that.
Oh yeah, definitely. That way, if you're opening up, you know, you're in their room, you can find out if that is aspirin or ecstasy or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I guess now it's Molly's, isn't it? Molly's that come in pills.
I have no idea. It's just I don't have kids, so Luke, anything?
No, I have no idea. I don't eat pills off the floor either.
So. Okay.
I'll agree. That's a bad idea. So if you're watching and you're finding the pill on the floor, don't eat it. That's our recommendation.
Yeah, but you know, you think about it. It's like you're sitting there in a Las Vegas hotel room, and you see pills on the. All I'm curious of is, are these pills something that you know? What are they?
Jeff is saying, can I sell these?
Yeah, he's like, how much are these worth? How much are these worth?
I need gambling money. Let me go down to the pawn shop and pawn off these pills. Yeah, no, that's not going to work there. So. All right.
Maybe it was a Z, and you're looking at it sideways. And...
Oh, that's true. Could be, yeah. There is one other question I have, and I know it's going to sound morbid, but what about when it comes to post-healthcare, when we're talking about morticians? And doing like forensic crime scenes or something like that down in the morgue, what type of healthcare advances are being made with Glass there? Do you know?
No, I haven't heard anything in that arena. That would be an interesting one to find out, though.
Okay, I haven't heard anything. Luke, have you heard anything? Been down in the morgue lately? No.
Okay. I don't ask a lot of questions when I'm down there. So.
Well, you know, dead men don't wear glass.
Yeah, I think that's the age-old expression.
So anyway, I think we've got a good rounded series of questions. If I could talk here, that we learn a little bit about the healthcare. Of course, if you have any other questions, you can always ask us. Email us at jeff@twig.tv, luke@twig.tv. We can definitely contact Kathy. Of course, going up on Google Plus and friending Kathy Brown. And asking your questions directly, that works as well. And, of course, we do have one more question really quick, which is not a glass or a healthcare-related question, so I'm just going to remove that. So, but, Kathy, how do they get a hold of you otherwise? A Twitter handle, an email address, what?
How do you like
Oh! Very nice. It's like a little business card.
Yeah, so it's Clever Kibitzer on Twitter and brownnose.com for my website. And otherwise, look for me on Google Plus, Kathy Brown.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you very much for spending an hour of your time listening to us ramble and go, what the heck is the, so, and of course, you also have a Hangout show or what?
Yeah, I do a series of Hangouts for both of my communities. I've been doing a series with my healthcare Glass Explorers community, talking specifically about specific areas in healthcare, and we're kind of pulling them apart week by week. And then I have my healthcare talk community where I have regular healthcare hangouts, and we talk about everything from using Twitter and how to use YouTube to communicate with patients all the way to HIPAA. We're going to be talking about HIPAA on the 20th and all kinds of things. So I just love hangouts and I love to talk. So, and I appreciate being the guest. So thank you, Jeff, for letting me be on the other end of it. It's kind of fun.
Not a problem. I'm just, it's great to see that other people are not only thinking of glass, but thinking of glass in very specific realms. And, of course, I talked about Sarah Hill. We'll probably have her on in a future episode. But it's also good to see that with Hangouts, we've got this question and answer, even though we got a couple questions from the question and answer. And as things progress, we'll be able to get a lot more as people understand how this process works. So, Kathy, thank you very much for your time. You have that smile, and it's just like you are the face. You're the face of Google Glass Healthware. I'm just gonna say it straight out.
Well, thank you. That's quite a compliment. I'm not worthy, but.
And of course, thank you very much for being on the show. Thanks to your husband to helping you out, making sure that we all understand the implications of glass in healthcare, because it is a lot of people are asking those questions, and we've got some information there. Luke, how do people get a hold of you?
So again, that's Luke on Twitter. I don't have the cool little fancy pop-up thing over here, but yeah, Luke on Twitter. No one wants to contact me anyway, and Luke at twig.tv. Or, Google Plus is great, show notes, twig.com. Oh, no, I'm sorry, twig.tv, this week in googleglass.com. All of the information is there. I'm not too hard to find. I may be coming to a conference near you, so.
Oh, yeah, we do have that thing that if you want us at a conference, and Kathy, if you want to hook up on that too, if you want us to come out of the conference and talk about Google Glass, just have to pay for our hotel and airfare, and we're coming out there. I'll be talking to Google Glass to a whole bunch of aspiring technology people in Platteville, Wisconsin, which is kind of cool. So I'll be able to talk about, and I'm formulating my speech right now as we speak. But and of course, once my Google Glass comes back, that's the other thing. So if you have had any pair of Google Glass die on you, Kathy, yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is a replacement I just got, and I have never had glass without bling except for this week, and I feel naked because the day I got my glass, I put rhinestones on it for bling, and every picture that you see with someone with rhinestones, they're wearing my glass. And
okay.
So I'm mourning my rhinestones. I have to go get new rhinestones, but...
I'm being reminded of that brand new commercial. I think it's Samsung that puts it out, where the guy's the smartphone and she's putting the bling on him, and he goes, "Hey, that's nice. Please take it off." So, all right. Well, thanks again, Kathy. Of course, if you're a glass owner, glass wearer, and you've got specific stories to tell, I've been contacting the people that have been making the movies with glass. Of course, healthcare. Like I said, we'll have Sarah Hill on a future episode and a couple others as we go. So, if you'd like to be part of the show, all you have to do is email me here, jeff@twig.tv. That's with two G's. TWIGG.TV or thisweekingGoogleGlass.com. You can go there, go to the contact area, and sign out from there. We'll be doing more questions and answers. And Kathy, if you want to talk about anything else in the future, just let us know, and we'll put you on the schedule.
Great, thanks. Well, actually, on Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about Google Glass in business. So if it goes well, maybe I'll share it with you.
Okay, sounds like a plan. So, thanks again. You guys have a great one. Let's see if I can do this outro right as I'm talking. This is This Week in Google Glass. My name is Jeffrey Powers. We will see you next week. We'll do some regular news, and maybe you'll have another guest on. We'll see what happens. So, thanks a lot for watching. Whoops. This is This Week in Google Glass. There it is.